Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's Lord in this place. And this ground is where God reigns. And we're just going to pray that now, and we declare that as the people of God, because we have authority in Jesus Christ to do these things. And Father, we just pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that Father, He is Lord in this place. And Father, we pray that everything that Father seeks to set itself up against His Lordship, every lie, every fear, every oppression, O God, everything, Lord, that would seek to come as a robber of Your people will bow before the Lordship of Jesus Christ this day, O God. And Father, we release faith into this atmosphere this day, O God. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of this ground, and we rebuke in His holy name, the name of Jesus Christ, everything that is not of God. And we declare that this ground is holy unto God. Amen. Now, as we leave the season of last year and we're into the season of this year, and what I want to talk, the Bible talks about being filled up. And what does that mean? For something to be filled up, something has to happen. If you're filling up a cup of water, you pour it in. But there's always an action takes place of some sort. And what I want to ask us is, as we leave last year, what is filling up our lives? What is filling up your life? What is filling up the life of this church, of this tribe of liberty? And it's hugely important, because we have robbers. And the devil is a robber. And what he seeks to rob is the joy of God, the peace of God, your faith. And he seeks to fill you, to fill your life up with fear, anxiety, worry. He seeks to fill our lives up with perversion. And sometimes we don't like to talk about things, and bondage to pornography, and bondage to different things. And that's why he seeks to fill our lives up with. He seeks to fill our lives up with complacency, lukewarmness. And all these things he seeks to fill up. And we can find at times in our lives, because the Bible says we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know you heard me saying that before, but we are, the Bible says that, the Spirit of God dwells within us. But what we can find is the temple can be polluted. And the devil has got in. And I find with the people of God, and we must understand this, faith is not passive. We have an enemy, and we must recognize that. And we must recognize that he is a robber of the things of God in our lives. And if we allow him, he will rob you of everything. Everything. And he doesn't only rob you, he'll rob your family. He'll rob your children. He'll rob your finances. He'll rob your security. He'll rob you of everything. He'll leave you with nothing. And he's a vicious enemy, and that's what he does. But he's a defeated enemy. We must understand that he's defeated. Now, how is he defeated? Is he defeated when we sit down under his oppression? Is he defeated when we listen to his lies? Is he defeated when we just open the door of our lives, of our family, and just allow him and his forces to walk in and rob us? No. He'll never be defeated that way. We are called to war. We are called to put on the armor of God. We are called to resist the devil. And what happens? He flees. But the key word is resist. We resist the devil. Now, how do we do that? Again, I find the people of God, and this is not, I'm not getting at anyone. I've come through this. So what I'm talking about is true experience. What you find with the people of God is we're always trying to fight in our own strength. We're always trying to accomplish things spiritually in our own strength. Sometimes we're trying to fight these battles in our own strength. And the Word of God is very clear to us. The Spirit of God is there to empower us. The Spirit of God is there to give us strength, wisdom, victory. And we must depend upon the Spirit of God. We must make sure that our relationship with the Spirit of God is active, it's alive, it's every day. We are seeking Him every day. There's a man of God who's passed on now, and he had a great reputation. But one thing, you know, that he said, and he caught me, and he says, every day before he entered into the world, he secured the presence of God in his life. Isn't that amazing? That really caught me. Before he entered out, he secured the presence of God. And why? Because the presence of God was his victory. He could walk out into the world with the presence of God and be victorious in Jesus Christ. And what I want to is, what is filling up our lives? Is it greed? Is it bitterness? Is it envy? Is it cursing? Is it unbelief? Lukewarmness? Lack of commitment? Gossiping? Complaining? Sexual sin? And grumbling against God? And what we need to be very careful of, because we find ourselves, and the enemy seeks to do this. When you look at the people of Egypt, when you were brought out, and God brought them out through tremendous signs of power. He parted the sea. He defeated the representation of his kingdom at that time, which was the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he struck him. And he struck all their gods. And he dealt with every one of them. And then he brought his people out of captivity. And what you find then is faith was not in their hearts. And they grumbled against God, complained all the time. But notice this very carefully. God never forsake them. He never left them. He was with them every day. He fed them every day. He blessed them every day. And yet, their heart was not God's. They were a complaining people, a grumbling people. And they could never enter in to what God had for them because faith was never there. Fear stood before them. And they never conquered the fear. That conquered them and kept them in that desert for 40 years, their whole generation. 40 years wandering in that desert. God with them. The presence of God with them. But a people who were a desert people never entered into what God had for them, their inheritance that he had for them in the promised land. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We can miss our inheritance in Jesus Christ. You can live a life of a desert experience in God. God will be your God. God will not forsake you. God will never leave you. But your life can be a joyless life of just oppression and never entering in to what Jesus Christ has won for us. So how do we... How do we fight these battles? How do we know the peace of God, the joy of God? How do we know faith working in us? And the first thing we do is this. The Word of God is living and active. It's alive. It has power. Because it's the truth of God. When God speaks these things to us, we can put our full trust in them and know that God is not a liar. And what God says He will do, He will do. And when the enemy comes with his fear and oppression, this is the sword that we resist him with. Unless we understand that, it's not psychology. Forget about it. He's not interested in your wisdom. The only thing that he fears and understands and bows the knee before is the word of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's no other Lord in his life. No matter who you are, how much money you have, how many degrees you have. He's not interested. He'll tear you apart. The only thing he bows before is Jesus Christ. And when we look at that then, and in our lives, in Psalm 107 and verse 2, we need to get the word of God into us. Let the redeemed of the Lord, are you redeemed this day? Has Jesus redeemed you from the power of the evil one and brought you into the kingdom of God? And he's done that. This is then for you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those who redeem from the hand of the foe, and we be redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south, we come from all different places. Some wandered in desert wasteland, and we all have a testimony of our lives, where we came from, desert wasteland. Finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Now, when the Bible talks about being hungry, it talks about being spiritually. Their lives were ebbing away. They were hungry, they were thirsty, their lives were empty, they were in a desert place. And how many people at times felt, my life's just ebbing away. Where do I go? Who do I turn to? Who can help me? Who can heal me? Who can set me free? Then they cried out to the Lord. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Now that's faith in action. When we are in trouble, when we are in distress, when we are hungry, we must be people of prayer. We must go to the source of where our hunger and our distress we can be delivered from. And people who don't pray, if we don't pray, it means then we're under the oppression of that distress and we're overtaken by it. And believe you me, that's what will happen. Fear will conquer you. Fear will overcome you. And the only way you counteract the fear of the enemy is to get before your Lord, who has the answer for your distress, and he will deliver you. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. And then if you go on with the psalmist then, in Psalm 42, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While men say to me all day long, where is your God? And you know, that's where we can be as Christians. We can be in this place where our soul thirsts for the living God, where we're looking for God in a deeper way, where there's tears in the night time, and where the enemy comes and he says to us, where is your God? Where is he? And he seeks to overtake us and bring in unbelief and rob us of our faith. And we say, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. We need to pour out our soul before God. We need to get before God and pour out all what's within us. Pour it out before God. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitudes, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. Always thank God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? And we can be disturbed people. We can be downcast at times and disturbed. All sorts of stuff can be trying to get into our lives. But it says, where do we put our hope then? And this is the crucial thing. Really, I'm trying to get across, your faith must be a faith of action. When this is happening to you, when you're under pressure, when the devil's trying to get in, you must do certain things. And it says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, this talks about being thirsty and hungry for the living God. Jesus then says, in Matthew 5 and verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now that's a fact that's nearly already done. Jesus says, if you thirst and hunger for righteousness, and you come to where the living water is found, which is Him, He says, I will fill you. And what does He fill us with? I'm going to go through that. God fills us, as I read out earlier on, with good things. Good things, with peace, with joy, with security. And the things that trouble us. And God, it's not all teary with God. God just doesn't come and He's teary, because the Word of God brings that out. God's a God, God's love, and God's a God of action. And Peter says, if you see your brother in need and you can help him, but you say, God bless you, and walk away, he says, your religion is worthless. Now, Peter says that, how much more God? When God sees those in need, does He just give us scripture verses that have no power or no fulfillment in them? Does He say to us, don't fear, I look after you, and then just walk away? No, He doesn't. So when He says these things, when He says, if you come, I will do these things. I will do them. And we must trust God in this. When God says He will do it, He will do it. And that breaks the power of the enemy. And it's John 7 and verse 37. On the last and greatest day, that's the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, and He's saying today in a loud voice towards His people, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Sometimes we run everywhere else. We run, and I don't knock on this, you hear me saying, we run to the latest book on the market that tells us 10 things to do, and we will bring peace and spiritual strength into our lives. I'm not against books, but books will not do it. Man will not do it. It says, who do we go to? Who do you go to? You go to your Savior, the one who loves you, the one who has promised you. This book, this is the book to go to. Because He says, I, whoever has come to me and drink, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, the word of God has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this He meant the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God within us. And the Spirit of God has a ministry. He's not just neutral in our lives. He wasn't sent by the Father and the Son to be neutral in our lives. And He doesn't come alongside us and He's neutral. His ministry to us is to bring us into our inheritance in Jesus Christ. He never ministers apart from Jesus Christ. It's important to understand that, because sometimes you hear teaching, it's almost separation. God's Holy Spirit almost into his own workings. He walks through the cross, He walks through the blood, and He walks to bring into our lives the inheritance that we have in the Son, Jesus Christ. And He's active in that, and He's purposeful in that. And where the devil is trying to bring in fear and all sorts of things, he will actively walk with us to oppose that. And this is His sword. This is why He tells us, pick her up. Because the Father's power, the Son, and my power is in this word. And when the enemy hears it and has spoken against him, he will bow his knee before it. And so we need to allow God's Holy Spirit to be active. We cannot, and this is a thing we learn, because I've learned this the hard way. Sometimes we're trying in our own strength. I'm sure you hear that many times. We're trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. And what we find all the time is we fail a lot of the times. We get maybe seasons or a blip where we're doing well, but all the time. And we must come to realize in our own strength, we are not called to walk with God or to fight against the forces of darkness. We're not called. God doesn't tell us. And in fact, God tells us the opposite. By the Spirit, let the Spirit into your life. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Let Him be your wisdom. Let Him be your strength. Let Him be the one who brings the word of faith, living and active into your heart. So when fear comes, that word is brought alive by the Holy Spirit, and the fear loses its power. And we see this in real ways in the Bible. David was a young man, and there was a chap named Goliath, and he was a huge guy and a great warrior, and he represented the power of the enemy. And he came against the army of Saul, who were not wimps. They had already won battles. They were strong men. But their knees buckled before Goliath. And fear gripped the whole army. And they were bound by fear. Bound by it. Now they were the army of God. If faith had to go in there, things would have changed radically. And it did. And God brought in a boy, David, who wasn't in the army, who hadn't experienced battle, a young boy, and he brought him in. But faith was in David's heart. Now, David had experience of faith against the enemy. He talked about that. But when he heard Goliath speaking fear and threats against God's people, what happened, David, was he said, well, we're God's people. God is our God. And who is this thing that dares to come against the people of God? And this faith rose up in him. This anger rose up. And it says to David, and read it carefully, it says, David ran to the battle line. He was eager for the fight. Because he said, and the threats to David were real. This was a real situation. And, you know, Goliath says, you see you. You see, how dare you, you little pup, you. I'm going to tear you apart this day. I'm going to feed you to the birds. Right? And David says, that's what you think. This day you're coming down. This day you're going to fall. And your head is coming off your body. And God is going to give us the victory. Now, was David doing that in his own strength? He wasn't. He knew. He knew who he was in God. And he knew this enemy. And this enemy was real and powerful. And these fears can be real. I'm not trying to say these fears aren't real. And they are real. And I've known these fears. And sometimes they come. But, and it's not easy sometimes. But we must take our stand in God and face them. And overcome them. And we will do it in God. God will not fail us. And that Goliath came down that day. And David was victorious. And that's where we must in God. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is faith at times is not easy. I'm not talking about let's play games here. I've known the devil. I've known him come against me. I've known the fear of it. I've known the being anxious. I've known the oppression. But I always ran to God. God was my refuge. Because I knew this enemy would tear me apart. This enemy that I face, I have no hope against in and of myself. But I know who I am in Jesus Christ. And I run to where my strength is. And I run to my strong tower. And I run to my God. And in Jesus Christ, I speak to the enemy. In Christ. Never outside of Christ. I'm in Christ. And I speak to him. And he's defeated. Now, those situations can be real and they can be difficult. And I'm not saying it was all just no problem. It was a problem. You know, my knees could be knocking. My heart could be shaking, you know, within me. But God was my strength. I wasn't dependent on my own strength because I wasn't there. I wasn't dependent on being brave because that courage wasn't there. But what was there was the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And that was all I needed. And God brings us through this time. And I was, when I was putting this word over the weekend and just previous over the week, you know, the last 2 days, and this can happen, a new tremendous oppression trying to overcome me and bring me into a place of just, I shall watch the use and just wear us down and wear us out. And I knew where it comes from. And it talks about persevering in God. Sometimes we have to persevere. We have to take a stand. Now, this was real to me. And I didn't just go. It was one whole day of just being, just constant oppression seeking to come against me. And it's not nice. And it isn't a nice place to be. But that's where we're at. If we're going to serve God, then we have an enemy who will oppose us. And it's a real war. It's not a phony war. It's a real war. Now, I want you to listen to this very carefully. And this is what we need to get a hold of. Because one of the things that the devil does is he comes and he undermines your rights, sonship in God. How many of us come to the place where we can think, God doesn't really love me. I don't really belong to God. God's not really in my life. I can't take God's promises because I'm unworthy. The sin in my life. I'm disqualified. God won't. And all this stuff. And it's real. And we find ourselves there. But just how do we counteract again the word of God? In Galatians 4 and 4 to 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. That we might receive the full rights of sonship. And sonship means male and female. Just a cover name. That we might know what are the full rights of sonship. And I haven't the time to go into it here, but believe you me, they're tremendous. And it says you have them. You have full rights of sonship because God is your father. And God declares now that we are his children, sons and daughters. And we have full rights. Because, and this is in the word of God, Galatians 4, because you are sons of God, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir of the inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ. And this is tremendous portion of scripture. The depth and the truth that's in this is incredible. Because you now share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ. And you have full rights as sons. And what is full rights of sons? If you have a child, if you're the father or mother of a child, or just the mother of a child or the father of a child, if that child is in danger, what do? You protect them. And if they're in real danger, you will fight for them. And because they are yours, because they are of your flesh, they're your children. And you will fight for them and you will protect them. The same as those with God. This is not just words. We are God's children. And God will protect us. And God will fight for us. And God will fulfill all his fatherhood to us in Jesus Christ. And we have an inheritance that's in God. An inheritance that's in Jesus Christ. Now it says in Romans 15 and verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That is part of your inheritance, the joy and peace of God in Jesus Christ. As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now again, get a hold of this thing. We're not asked. This peace and this joy is not through self-effort. It's not through us trying to make it happen. But it says by the Spirit of God, as we trust in him, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the joy and peace of God will be active in our lives. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit active in our lives. He does it. We look to him to do it. And in John 1 and verse 16, it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all, that's all, received one blessing after another. Praise God. I just want to, I'm going to wrap up now, but what I want to, what I want to leave us with is this. We cannot be passive in our faith. And the enemy is a robber. I'm just going to say that again. The enemy is a robber. And he will rob you of your inheritance in Jesus Christ if you let him. And he will have you wander in a desert. Now, God will be with you. God will never leave you. But you will never come in to your inheritance in Jesus Christ. And our inheritance, like when you come out of Egypt, there's battles to be fought for our inheritance. And the battles is that we overcome the enemy. We overcome fear. We overcome everything that seeks to come into our lives and rob us of what God wants to give us in Jesus Christ. Now it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And there's a strength in that. Even the difficult times when you praise God, it helps to defeat the enemy. Rejoice in the Lord all. And he said, I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is an ever-present help in times of trouble. The Lord is near. So, do not be anxious about anything. Now listen to this very carefully. But in everything, by prayer and petition, faith in action, running to God, giving God our worries, our fears, bringing them under his lordship, bringing them under the authority of the Holy Spirit, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present them. You come before God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Now again, this is a work of God. That the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. There's a whole process of faith here, where you go before God, you're thanking God. You're thanking God that he is a refuge. You're thanking God that he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. And this is how we walk the word of God into our lives. So as we end, I just want to leave this with us. In Psalm 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord again, faith in action, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And in Hebrews 13, it says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And they're all faith statements that we need to declare. We need to take a hold of. No point in leaving the word of God bound up on the shelf. You need to get it down. You need to declare it into your life. You need to declare it to your foes, to your enemies. I can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can you do to me? You may be a Goliath. You may be a bondage. You may be a prison. You may be wherever you are. But God is my helper. And God will deliver me from you. And from your power. And from your oppression. And from your bondage. My God will deliver me. And that's the confidence you need to have. So we need to speak these things. And they're not just words. I kind of get across this. That's what God has promised you. And you can with confidence say these things to any enemy that comes at you. You can stand in that position. Because you have God's word, which is the sword of the Spirit. And whatever comes at you, whatever he manifests in your life, you have the word of God to speak to it. You speak to it. You speak to it in God. And you say, my God, not of myself will I deliver myself. It's not through my strength. But I am in Jesus Christ. And to you I say this, my God will deliver me. Because I am a son of God. I'm an heir with Jesus Christ. And I have God's word. So what I would ask you to do is, in the week ahead, you get before God. And like this, pour out your heart. lay your petitions before him. Be continuous in prayer. And I will say this to you, where you're not continuous in prayer, you're going to be weak. Don't wait for the fire brigade to come. Don't wait for the fire brigade. Don't be people who only pray in emergencies. Because believe you, and I believe this with all my heart, you can stop the emergency coming if you are consistent in prayer. It's only, and I found this, and I've been open about this, the emergency comes when the people of God aren't praying. And we need to be praying for each other, because sometimes we're in situations where we need other Christians to be praying, and God's word brings that out. We need to be watching out for each other. We need to be praying. But we need to be a people who are praying, who are petitioning God. We need to have watchmen on the towers, watching out for the dust of the enemy so we're coming. And so we're well prepared when he comes. And he doesn't find it easily with his raiding parties to raid in, snatch and rob and run back out again. But the gates are locked against him. And when he comes to this tribe, the gates of this tribe are manned and are locked. And he has no entry in. He's no way of getting in.